Hey guys, this week Wade and I are talking about guilty pleasures. You know, those songs that you really love, unless your friends are around? Coming up on the Music Box.
What's going on, everybody? This is Wade. I'm here with my brother Jimmy.
Hey guys.
We are talking this week about our guilty pleasures. Guilty pleasures in bands, in music, in song, in things we listen to when nobody else is around.
I'm sure it's happened to everybody where you're like, you know, like if you have friends that are music snobs, right? And you're like, man, you know, I love this song. It's my favorite song. I love listening to this song. I always listen to it loud. Unless Wade comes by, and then it's like, I don't want Wade to know I like that song.
So, I have those songs. Yeah. But honestly, if you really have a person that you listen to music with, you don't care what they think. Honestly, it's like, here, listen to this. Because I throw metal on you constantly in our listening sessions. Yeah. Outside of the podcast.
Yep.
And I know that's not your thing. And I so want you to like it as much as I do.
Right.
You know what I mean? And, but it doesn't, it's not your thing, but that's cool. But you still appreciate it.
Right.
But that's my guilty pleasure. Like I love metal.
Right.
But,
and I do listen to metal. Like I listen to it pretty often when I'm at work, honestly. But you know, it's not like something, I don't have a lot of metal just in my playlist.
Do you feel it like, in your soul when it comes on?
I do to a degree. Maybe I'm just not quite angry enough.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get it. Like, because last night, a little bit of a review, my wife and I, Kimberly, went and watched Chevelle, Breaking Benjamin, and 3 Days Grace at a local venue here. And we were going crazy, and everybody else is standing still.
Oh, crazy.
Like so I don't understand why Arkansas people don't know how to go to a rock concert, but
they don't have any experience with it, probably.
It was great. I don't know if that means I'm angry, but big hooks, yeah. Nice, nasty hooks in right. Rock and roll grab me by my soul.
Yeah.
Right, and they pull me in. I'm like, I want to hear what you got.
Yeah, I agree. I'm a melody guy.
I get that too.
If the melody grabs me, I don't have to even like the lyrics to the song. I don't have to like the voice of the song. If the melody grabs me, I'm in.
Sure, I get that too, man. I'm kind of both the ends of the spectrum.
Yeah,
because. My random playlist on my Apple iTunes or whatever, it goes from it'll go from Periphery to Nickel Creek.
Yeah. Well, I love when that happens. Yeah.
You know, and
when
I'm
you
like,
go from like when you're when I just have it on random and it goes from Alter Bridge to Glen Campbell to Jay-Z.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just like I love my life.
Yeah, totally love my life. If we're talking about guilty pleasures, you guys that are listening, think about the things that, I mean, honestly, we're throwing in people's opinions to your music liking.
Right.
Into this show. And does it matter? When I was in high school, yes, it mattered.
Right.
When I was rolling around, had people in my car, and we're like, I remember taking this German exchange student. His name was Timo. Oh, Timo.
Yeah.
And
he was the German Hitler was trying to build.
Yeah, yeah.
Tall, good-looking kid, man. Blonde hair, blue eyes.
Blonde hair, blue eyes. Awesome, Timo. But anyway, I remember trying to expose him to American music.
Yeah.
And I am the wrong guy. I'm the wrong guy to try to expose you to what's popular.
Yeah.
I'm going to expose you to good songwriting, good hooks in rock and roll,
yeah.
Good melodies in blues and soul and simplistic chord progressions
right.
and great lyrics but I do remember the first time that I ever hung out with him, my family was camping at Indian Creek. which is a campsite here in Arkansas, and on the way I throw in a Saliva CD.
Yeah.
Okay, we're talking Saliva back in their heyday, before anything happened with Saliva and they all broke up and whatever they did. But I am in my car. It's a 1988 Chevy Cavalier, two-door piece of junk.
Love that
and
car.
And I had a stereo that was worth more than the tires on the car. I had tins in the back. I was trying to be as loud as I could. And I'm blaring Saliva music. And I'm headbanging going down the road. And I remember looking over at this German guy in the side. And he is looking at me like I'm crazy.
Yeah.
But that is my guilty pleasure. Those things that... You know what? Either you don't want people to see or you don't care that they see.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so
I remember pretty recently, it was probably last summer, probably around this time, Trey, my son, and I had been talking, and he had mentioned that there was a rap album that won a Pulitzer Prize. And I was like, I have to listen to that. So I was listening to it. It was Damn by Kendrick Lamar, right? Is that right?
Yeah.
And so I was listening to it while I was out at work one day. And I was out driving around. And I pulled up to a convenience store. And I have Kendrick Lamar blaring on the truck radio in my work truck, right? And I pull up and here's this... a lot of you guys haven't seen me, but here's this... white bearded 47-year-old guy who looks like he's 47 years old, and he pulls up to the come and go, and there's this guy walking on the sidewalk in front of me that's like, you know, a telephone guy, a guy that works on telephone lines, right? Walking in front of the truck, and I'm like bumping this kind of like extra super hip-hop music.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's looking at me like, what is wrong with that guy? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's kind of a guilty pleasure sort of deal.
Sure, sure.
Because he's looking at me like, what are you listening to? Like, I should be listening to Lynyrd Skynyrd, and I'm listening to Kendrick Lamar.
Right. Yeah, AC/DC should be coming from your truck.
Right.
Not yeah. Kendrick Lamar.
Right.
But honestly, broaden your horizons.
Absolutely.
Okay? Listen to something. Make a decision on it if you like it. And if you do, then listen to
then
it.
Then love it.
If you don't. Don't knock it. It's just another piece of art.
Don't make yourself try to like it if you don't either.
Listen, I've tried to do that.
Yeah.
I've listened to albums that everybody said was amazing.
Yeah.
And like, this is terrible. I could tell they had ghostwriters and 17 hours of production and things like that. I love raw music. I love simplistic music. I like the other spectrum too, man.
And honestly, at the end of the day, it's a simple matter of taste. Right?
Sure.
Some people, you know, there are people in the world that don't like pizza. So be
weirdos.
It. Weirdos that
you
don't
weirdos.
Like pizza. But, you know, so be it. And music's the same way. It's called a taste for a reason.
Sure.
Some people think it's tasty, and some people think it's disgusting. So let's get into it, man.
Let's do it. What you got?
Okay. So first off, I'm a man of a certain age. I grew up...
You're old? Is that what you're saying?
I'm old.
Okay.
I grew up... I became a more avid music fan in the 80s. Around 80, 82 or something like that is when
I was just born.
When I super got into music, right. When you were just being born. And one of the... I think the first actual vinyl record that I ever bought that was full length, that wasn't a 45 single, was Pyromania by Def Leppard. Which is a great album.
Awesome.
And that is not a guilty pleasure for me. That's a straight up pleasure for me. I will tell anybody I listen to Pyromania. It is by far the best work Def Leppard ever did.
Is that the one that has Photograph on it and all that stuff?
Yes.
Okay.
Photograph, Rock of Ages.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyways.
Great Def Leppard album.
Great album. But somewhere around that same time, I bought a tape of a full length album by Rick Springfield called Working Class Dog.
Hey, man. And listen, I can't knock you for that.
And listen, I loves me some Rick Springfield now. I'm telling you. I listen to Rick Springfield. So my first song, Guilty Pleasure, is it's not on Working Class Dog, oddly enough. It's Rick Springfield, Love Somebody. off of the Hard to Hold album, which was a movie he did, an awful movie he did, but I love that song. And I have this Rick Springfield's Greatest Hits thing, and so this, it's on that, and it just pops up in my playlist randomly, and it popped up on my playlist last week. And you laugh
like a little girl.
And I turned it up, and I might even listen to it twice in a row.
Yeah, you did. I can't say. That's amazing. That's amazing. But if I got in your car, that wouldn't be your pick.
No. If you got in my car, I would make sure that didn't play.
Do you really love me? Because I would want to hear that.
Right.
Because this is the thing that I've been thinking. Like, I get into a vein of music that I listen to.
Yeah.
I get into rock, or I get into blues, or I get into soul, I get into singer-songwriter.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get into pop, but not much.
Right, a little.
But I've been thinking lately, like, we should take a challenge, you and I, and listen to a different decade of music than we would ever listen to for 1 week, and then do a podcast on that.
Oh, I like that.
The fact that I never listened to 70s music, except with like the Eagles or some Bee Gees or something like right. that. Dig into the 70s.
Yeah.
Let's see what we find for me.
Yeah.
Dig into the 2000s. See what you find.
Yeah.
In the post-grunge, the emo, the right. the things that I like.
Yeah.
You know, like what can we do? So, but you would never throw Rick Springfield, even though you know I would love Rick Springfield.
Yeah. yeah.
But that's a guilty pleasure
song. It's a guilty pleasure song for me.
You guys are thinking right now, what do I play in my car that I don't want my friend to know that I actually do? And I'll throw one out there for you. When I'm in high school, you think I'm an 18-year-old kid.
Yeah.
All right. What's popular when I'm 18, you're thinking 2002. Nickelback has a song called How You Remind Me that is like the, it's a terribly overplayed song, but at that time it was a fantastic song.
Yeah.
It was nice and rock and roll, it was clean, there was no screaming,
right,
blah blah blah. Nickelback was huge,
right?
So Nickelback's How You Remind Me was popular, Nelly was popular, Beyonce was starting to take off outside of Destiny's Child, Deftones were huge. Nirvana was huge. Like, all this stuff is going on. And then all of a sudden in 1997, this boy band thing started happening. Okay? So here is this guy. If you had seen my record, my CD collection.
I know Celine Dion's in there.
Yeah, baby. Yeah. And so that's a guilty pleasure for me too.
Absolutely.
Because I love the fact that if you can sing, I want to listen to you.
Absolutely.
If you're produced or you can't actually sing, because I'm a musician, and look, Jimmy, you know where I came from. You know that I came from Southern gospel roots.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
I came from Southern gospel roots, and I seen people that could actually sing for hours and hours and hours, 2-3 nights a week.
Yeah.
Like, we would do singings, is what we call it in the South. Okay? So I grew up around very talented people.
Extremely. And like, really technically excellent.
Yes. Like, yeah, definitely.
Like, not overly creative. Do you know what I mean?
That's necessarily very simplistic.
To where it's, to where you're pulling an odd sort of melody out of the air here and there.
No, not a lot of runs.
Really technically proficient and super well executed music.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you haven't looked at Southern gospel music, man, there's some incredible gospel singers out there.
Amazing singers, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, especially those groups that sing, any of the Gaithers and all of that stuff.
Right.
But I don't want to roll into that, but I grew up with such an influence of great music.
Yeah.
Okay? That I wasn't looking at what popular radio was force-feeding me.
Yeah.
Some of it I liked.
Right.
But I could make a judgment on what I didn't like and what I did.
Right.
Based upon the fact that you could actually sing.
Yeah.
Okay? So what happened was I had all Nickelback CDs. And then all of a sudden, in 1997... this Backstreet Boys come on and this NSYNC comes on, and I'm watching TRL in its heyday from 97 to 2001, 2002. TRL is a massive.
Right.
That's when music videos actually counted.
They played them every day.
There
was a crowd of people standing down in Times Square, looking out the window at them.
Like, people actually cared if you made a music video.
Carson Daly was dating 14-year-olds.
Oh, yeah. It was awesome. Oh, Carson Daly. Yeah. So we're name dropping, even on the Music Box podcast.
Yeah.
But, and I would watch, being a fan of rock, being a fan of rap, I loved Limp Bizkit. I loved Korn. I loved all of these old, nice, heavy rock and roll.
Yeah.
And the boy bands came along. And the thing that I thought when boy bands came along was, that dude can sing.
Yeah.
These dudes can harmonize.
Yeah.
Because my background in the church
was... You grew up in a...
I grew up with harmony.
You learned to sing harmony when you were 10 years old.
Yeah. I don't care if they can dance. I don't care about any of the performance or the show.
Yeah.
But I would listen to a 98 Degrees song, an NSYNC song, a Backstreet Boys song, and go, dude, I don't care what you all think. I remember telling my friends, I don't mind the NSYNC or Backstreet Boys. They can sing.
Yeah.
They can actually carry a tune.
Right.
They
That's
can,
the litmus test for
They
you.
Can harmonize.
Yeah.
Like, so I loved the artistry behind it. So my guilty pleasure is, oh, God. I can't even hardly say it. It's boy bands.
Oy.
In the late 90s.
Yeah.
The fact that I knew that Timberlake would be amazingly famous.
Right.
Absolutely above anybody else in his in all of those bands. He had it. I could pick him out when they were singing. Like, dude, that guy can sing, man.
I have to tell you, for me personally... I'm a Timberlake fan now.
Sure.
But probably when I heard It Comes Around, that's probably the first time I went, wow, that kid is good.
Yeah.
Like really good. You know what I mean? When he first went out on his own.
The first record.
And I saw him perform on something. If it was an award show or just a late night talk show thing, you know what I mean? Like, you know, whatever it was, I was just like, whoa, you know, he came out, he played guitar a little bit at the beginning, and then, you know, he could sing, he was doing the thing.
But that was so different than what we'd ever seen from him, because he had a box that he had to fit into with all those other guys.
Well, that's such a controlled environment, the boy band environment.
Oh my gosh, the guy who made those.
Invented, you know, and carefully crafted box that they keep everybody in. This kid is the, you know, he's the cute kid. This kid is the boy next door kid. This kid is the rough street kid.
Yeah, it's got to be an alto. Yeah. Got to have a tenor over here. Yeah. Got to have a soprano over here.
And then you got to have all these personalities that fit in all of those parts.
They got to have blonde hair, black hair, red hair.
Yeah.
And so I appreciated the talent of the vocal ability of those guys enough that when I was driving down the road and I was actually listening to the radio back in the day when the CD wasn't playing and on 101.9, the most top 40 station, those bands would come on, I would turn it up. It's my guilty pleasure because I loved the way they sang. Go for it.
Next up for me is a little number from 2002. Again, it's a singer song. It's a person who sings songs. And as a man of a certain age, I suppose...
Would you just say it? I've already said it.
I suppose people would think that it's kind of weird. But my next guilty pleasure song...
I'm going to be surprised.
You're probably going to be surprised. And I may need a good attorney after this. But I am going to say the next guilty pleasure song for me is Christina Aguilera, Dirty.
I'm confused.
Because that
song... I'm not even surprised.
Absolutely rocks, right? And that girl can sing now. And that was like... I'm not a genie in a bottle guy. I respected her talent.
This was the shift.
As a singer. But listen, Dirty is a straight up rock song. And she... kills it.
Okay.
Like, I would love that song if there was no video.
So I have a lot to say.
Yeah.
So we're out of Genie in a Bottle.
Yeah.
O2, we're 3 years about after Christina hit the thing, and she turns into this ex-Tina, right? She gets tired of being the little schoolgirl, girl next door type of thing, and she comes out with this bad girl image, and she starts singing that way. But honestly, what a fantastic marketing and promotion from her record label to say, we can sing like this. We can sing like this.
Yeah.
We can sing nasty and dirty. Because honestly, in the early 2000s, just like any other time past 1980, sex sells everything.
Right.
Right. So Christina comes along.
And she was very consciously trying to separate herself from the pop princess persona.
And I think that's why she did it.
Much in the same way that Pink has. Because they tried hard to put her in that box. And they did the same thing to Christina. But Christina and Pink have something that Britney and a lot of those other people of that day don't have, and that is talent.
Yeah, the fact that they can sing.
They can sing.
Yeah.
Britney can't sing.
Britney has to lip sync every night in Vegas
and
just dance around.
Right.
And that's the only thing that's required for her.
Dancing around. That's her thing.
To look good.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. And for me, I wouldn't pay my $150 to go see Britney Spears in Vegas.
Right.
I would go.
No, I would.
I would go pay $500 to see Celine Dion in Vegas.
Well, there you go.
Because I know. I
would have to.
Because I know
right.
that chick's going to be singing.
She's going to sing.
I don't care about the production. But when it comes to Christina, that's funny that dirty song is a guilty pleasure for you.
Yeah.
Because that kind of set her up. It kind of ruined an image for her, but set up the fact that, hey, I'm going to be this.
Yeah.
I'm going to sing like I want, and I'm not who you think I am.
Right.
And I think in the early 2000s, at that time in music, that's a huge thing.
It's a huge thing.
Because pop is huge, boy bands are huge, little girls are huge.
And all of that was very protected, very wholesome.
Yeah.
Very homogenized.
Mm-hmm.
And when Christina came out with that, and it was raw, and it was, like you said, it like the song says, it's dirty.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dirty song. It's a dirty video. But it's a person singing their guts out.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. For me.
Yeah.
I love that song.
I'm with you. But I would feel really weird if I popped in your truck and we took a drive and you put on Dirty for Christina Aguilera.
Popped in.
It's a guilty pleasure.
It is, yeah.
That's amazing. Guilty pleasure number two for me. Oh, my goodness. I have to say, I have an appreciation for... for opera music.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm a rock guy. I like country. I like blues, soul. I like singer-songwriter. I'm really into that stuff. If I was telling you what was on my playlist this week, it was not opera.
Yeah.
But every once in a while. And I'll tell you what turned me on to this is my wife. My wife's Italian.
Yeah.
And so Pavarotti, I believe, is like this big Italian singer. And... I'm a singer. I'm a vocalist, you could say that. I've done that since I was like 4 years old. I've sang. Excuse me. But to sing opera style, to be that trained and things like that.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit of a guilty pleasure for me. It's not a guilty pleasure as a boy bands, but sometimes I get sucked into the wormhole of listening to the same song, even though I don't understand the lyric, but I can feel the emotion. I know that they're hitting those notes. I'm watching, and if you're trained at all or been around great musicians, you can see like the way people hold their mouth and the way that
their posture,
their throat, and I'm like, oh my gosh, how are you even hitting that note? And then the emotion that even goes into it, it's powerful, especially overseas.
Yeah.
Opera in America is a joke.
Well, yeah.
It's all foreign.
Yeah.
If they bring opera over here, it's Italian mostly.
Yeah.
It's French. Honestly, those are probably the best. I mean, if I'm wrong, please tweet us at the Music Box Pod and let me know. But that's my opinion. So I have a small guilty pleasure with opera music.
Right.
And Pavarotti. My wife was showing me this the other day in our bed, actually, before we went to sleep. She's crying. And I'm like trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
I'm trying to understand why.
Right.
And she said, watch the way he sings this. It's a blind guy singing it.
Right.
Okay. She said, watch the way he sings it. Watch his emotion. And so it's connecting with her like Amos Lee or Foy Vance connects with me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Does that make sense?
No,
so,
I totally get it.
Opera, yeah. Guilty pleasure for me.
Yeah. It's funny because I almost mentioned Josh Groban in mine. I'm a huge Josh Groban fan. Just, again, great singer. Maybe, you know, the music itself isn't my favorite thing in the whole world. But some of it is. Some of it I really super enjoy a lot. His last record I listen to all the time. And it's one of those things where it can go from something, you know, pretty heavy rock to, you know, Josh Groban just singing a beautiful melody, you know, from some traditional song. So, you know, Josh Groban for me is kind of the same thing as opera, I suppose. But not on my list, so I'm not claiming that as one of my guilty pleasures. I'm just into Josh Groban. I'm okay with it. Probably the last one for me, since we're running out of time, is going to be, and I've had this debate a lot in my head.
Okay.
But this person, I think, is probably one of the preeminent musical artists of our generation. And I think that she's a little underrated. In general terms, I think in certain markets, she's super huge. But I think that her abilities as a songwriter, as a musician, as a vocalist are hard to find an equal for in pop music or any music today. And that is Sarah Bareilles.
You got me there, bro.
Sarah Bareilles is as good at making music as anyone that is alive right now. I'll say that out loud. And the only reason it's a guilty pleasure for me is because I think people that know me and assume what my musical tastes are would be surprised to hear that. I have no shame at all for loving her as a musician and an artist. Her work to me is just emotional and beautiful and well thought out and well crafted, and her ability as a musician is just phenomenal.
Chick can sing.
Can sing, dude. Now.
So do me a favor while I'm talking. Look up Sarah Bareilles' catalog on iTunes.
Yep.
And she has a record that's just her and a piano, and it's recorded live.
Oh, I need that record.
Dude, I'm telling you, man. It if you don't know her, you're going to know her by the fact that she had a hit on pop radio called, what's it? I'm not going to write you a love song, because you asked for it, because you need one, you see, right?
Yeah.
But she wrote that song. She writes her own music. That's a very poppy song. But she did a concert, just her and a piano, and I could not take my ears off of it. I couldn't take my eyes off of it. And honestly, it does not surprise me because I know you that's a guilty pleasure for you.
Yeah, I love
because Sarah I can relate Bareilles. To that.
I'm such a huge fan. I just have a lot of her catalog in my playlist.
Yeah.
And every time a song pops up by her, I just love her music so much. It's so creative, so interesting. It's not I don't know. It just isn't always the same thing. You know what I mean? She is willing to take a risk musically. She's willing to be creative musically. And her talent is just phenomenal.
So listen to this. The guilty pleasures that we've talked about so far are way to the side compared to Sarah Bareilles. Okay.
Yeah.
This artist didn't get signed. She wasn't forced to be something that she wasn't. She got recognized for her songwriting skills and her ability. Honestly, behind the scenes of what's popular. And I think, whether we know it or not, Jimmy, we're both attracted to that stuff.
Absolutely.
And you should be. If you're listening to this, you should be attracted to something that you don't hear on the radio. That's why when we talk about things that, like, new music every week, go listen.
Yeah.
Because that stuff is, it's real. It's honest. It's raw. Oh, it's legit.
It's so beautiful.
Whether it's rock or blues or soul, like, it's absolutely amazing. And Bareilles, when she plays the piano and sings by herself.
Yeah.
Dude, it's raw and uncut. And I love the imperfection.
There are three live albums in Apple Music. Between the Lines, Sarah Bareilles Live at the Fillmore from 2008. iTunes Live from Soho from 2011. And Brave Enough Live at the Variety Playhouse from 2013.
Okay, so the Brave Enough album.
Yeah.
Dude, if you haven't heard that.
I haven't heard that.
You need to listen to that.
I'm just gonna download because, it right now because there's no reason for me to listen to it first. I'm just adding it to my playlist.
Go you. Download the whole album.
Oh, it has Manhattan on here.
Yes.
I love that song. It's such a beautiful, haunting, sad little song.
It's
a smoky, kind of traditional jazz kind of. Oh, I love that song so much.
It's a guilty pleasure for both of us.
I love
you
that.
You nailed it on I the head, it. Bro.
Yeah.
So, Sarah Bareilles. Totally awesome list. My last guilty pleasure is I love music that people don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say it like that. I first heard Chris Stapleton before he was famous.
Yeah.
About a year before the Justin Timberlake.
Yep, I remember.
CMA thing. And I was like, I don't know if I told you, but I know I told Kimberly, my wife. I said, listen to this guy. Yeah. Listen to this guy.
Nope. We were in my kitchen by the bar, and you said, have you ever heard Chris Stapleton? And I said, no. And you said, you have to hear this guy. And you pulled up some videos on YouTube or something, and we listened to him, and I was like,
it was probably Sometimes I Cry, because that was the first video I ever seen from him singing at some radio station called Sometimes I Cry. Which you haven't heard that song, but I love, my guilty pleasure is to get people in the car or by myself and listen to stuff that people don't know. I love to be the one to look at Jimmy and go, look, listen to this. Listen! Because if it doesn't happen, if they're not famous, then people are crazy.
Yeah.
They're absolutely crazy.
Absolutely.
And so much
of the great music in the world, you're never going to hear.
You never, ever, ever, ever.
It's never going to make it the radio. There's so little music that gets played on the radio. No matter what type of radio station you listen to, they got a catalog of, 30 songs that they're going to play ad nauseum.
Yeah, right. Definitely if you're a top 40 station, for sure.
And if you're a classic rock station, maybe that's 50 or 60 or 100 songs.
Ugh.
But there are hundreds of songs in the world every day that come into existence. And some of those songs are great. Some of them you're going to hear and some of them you're not.
Yeah. So please make a guilty pleasure of listening to something. Here's a challenge from the Music Box podcast from Jimmy and I this week. Listen to something outside of your box this week. And see if you can.
For sure.
Let me suggest Amos Lee. If you don't know Amos Lee, listen to Amos Lee. Listen to the Counting Crows. They've been going for 25 years, guys. There's a reason. Foy Vance. This guy has been on my playlist all week. I haven't been able to shut it off. He's got a live album from London that is so good. So good. Foy Vance. He has recently been signed to Ed Sheeran's record label, and he's from Ireland, so he's got some. I have a kind of a problem with people who sing with an accent, but
it seems like an unnecessary, almost pretentious thing.
But Irish people, it sounds cool.
It's a heavy thing, yeah.
It sounds really accent. Cool. Yeah. The guy is so cool. Foy Vance, that's my new music for the week. Foy Vance. I might have done that a couple of weeks ago, but it's still in my playlist, man.
My new music this week. Amazing. And I'm sorry to interrupt you, but
go for it.
My new music this week. I just opened my Apple Music the other day, and it's like, you know, the For You tab, and it had suggestions. And guess what I found? I found Live from the Artist Den,
Soundgarden. Yes, sir.
Yes, I did.
And it was so good.
It is so good. Listen, if you're not a huge Soundgarden fan, and shame on you, but if you're not, just shame. Pull it up. Just pull it up and go to Rusty Cage.
Yeah.
It is. It will melt your entire face completely off. It is a fantastic. And it is a long set. I would say it's
2 hours,
it's
man.
2 hours. Yeah, that's, yeah. That album's 2 hours of live Soundgarden. And it is phenomenal. Well, I don't think anybody in the world, and I'm including the heads of states in this, has a harder job than Matt Cameron, the drummer for Soundgarden. That is absolutely the hardest job in the world, to be the drummer for Soundgarden, because I have no idea what that time signature is. It is impossible to follow, but I adore it so much.
We could totally do a podcast on the easiest drummer jobs yeah. in the music business. I have a few of those.
Yeah.
But that guy's phenomenal. I listened to that record after you sent me the picture.
Uh-huh.
Like, look what I'm listening to this week, which I love, by the way, bro.
Yeah, that's thank so you fun. So much. I love it.
And I was listening to that record, and what I love is Cornell's voice, is not perfect.
It isn't perfect.
He sounds tired sometimes.
Yeah.
He sounds introverted sometimes. He sounds, he sounds off key.
A little
sometimes.
Flat here and there.
Oh, yep. That's art, man.
That's real.
It's not and perfect.
He's not fake singing that.
Nope.
And that's,
he's not got
that's your, hard work. Now I'm telling you, everybody in that band is working their tail off the whole time,
the
and for them to do that for
time.
Two straight hours, it's incredible. It's an incredible performance. As a person who sang, heavy music,
yeah,
I cannot believe how good he is for that long in that register
and for that many years.
And for that,
let's talk about that.
That long of a career,
holy,
and
crap.
A super active touring career all through that.
Man, rest in peace, Cornell.
Yeah.
Gosh, it's a sad time.
Well, guys, thanks for joining us this week on the Music Box. Hey, do us a favor, tweet at us this week, send us a message on the Anchor app, tell us your guilty pleasure. We'll talk about it next week.
Please, yes. Thanks to Jason Nida for hitting us up on Twitter. He was putting comments on record sales and talking about the death of the record, which was one of the first podcasts that we did.
Yeah.
And he hit us up on that. So, Jason, shout out to you,
shout
bro.
Shout out to Jason Nida, my boy.
Thanks for listening, man. We have enjoyed our time. Jimmy, I've enjoyed this.
It's been a good week, yeah.
Tweet us your guilty pleasures. Follow us on Facebook at The Music Box Pod. And we will see you next week. Have a great week, guys.
See you.